Well, at the beginning of the week, the weather forecasters told us, didn't they? They said, it's going to snow. And it's going to snow heavily. Did people really heed that? I saw some interviews of people walking along a very stationary M something. And as the kind of microphone was put in through their car window, they were saying things like, well, we didn't think it was going to be as bad as this. And, well, I thought we could get to where we needed to go before it happened. Interesting, isn't it? Not everybody listens. Or sometimes people listen and they listen to the wrong thing. So, the promise of the Lord's coming is very clear. In verse 7, whoops, I've lost my face now. In verse 7 that Liesl read to us, it says, but the heavens and the earth that now exist are being preserved by the same command of God in order to be destroyed by fire. They are being kept for the day when godless people will be judged and destroyed. Hard words to hear. Before I delve into that, where do we get our information from? Who do we listen to? Who do we believe? Newspapers? Television? Internet? Wikipedia? Magazines? The still small voice that seems to appear in the focus with great regularity. Who do we listen to? You see, I don't like bringing a message like this, but it's been burning inside me for a while now. And I think it's important that we look at it. Because there's never been a greater need for the message of the Bible to be heard. Peter is addressing this question. And he's very concerned because the believers in the first century are surrounded by false teaching. And some of them have been persuaded that because 30 years have gone by and that promise of Jesus to return, it hasn't happened. They're saying, never going to happen. Won't happen. Life goes on. Just the same. And the ones who are keeping with the message that they've heard, that Jesus will come again, are being absolutely ridiculed for it. What about you? What about me? Do we believe that he will return? Do we believe that what the Bible teaches is true? That a day is coming when Jesus will return as judge. And that the world as we know it will come to a cataclysmic end
Do we believe that? And if we do believe it, why are we so scared to say it? Do we fear being scoffed at and thought of as religious cranks? A little slide going to come up, hopefully. We'll have the other one as well. Steve, Phil, Pete, whatever your name is, sorry. When I was a little girl, sometimes I used to walk down Ilford High Street and you'd see people like this and everybody laughed at them, probably including me. I'm not sure that that's the best way to get the message across. At least they were trying. Okay, thank you. I've got a little outline here of where we're going. Who do we listen to? Do we listen to the world? Or do we listen to what the Bible teaches? So now we're going to look at the evidence that Peter gives us. That what Jesus has said is going to happen, is going to happen. First of all, Peter says in verse 2, look at the prophets. He was thinking about Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and countless other prophets who warned God's people about disobedience and that it would bring judgment. And it always did. And then he says, at least Peter doesn't, but I'm going to include the words of John the Baptist because he was the last great prophet. And when he preached the gospel that said, repent. Turn away from your sins and be baptized, and God will forgive you. It's in Mark 1, verse 4. And then in Mark 1, verse 15, we've got the words of Jesus. And Jesus, when he first began his ministry, said, the kingdom of God is near. Turn away from your sins and believe the good news. And then Peter reminds us of what the apostles taught. And if we were to look at Acts 2 and verse 38, Peter himself, in his very first sermon on the day of Pentecost, preached, turn away from your sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? So that your sins will be forgiven. I want you to remember all these words, says Peter in verse 2 of the passage we had today. Why are they to remember? Because if they don't, they're going to be scared. They're going to have their minds slowly changed by those who mock them. So, let's look at the scoffers. Verse 4. He promised to come 30 odd years ago, that was. Hasn't happened. Life goes on. If they said that then, how much more will people say it today? It's 2,000 years plus. Hasn't happened. Life rolls on. Same old way. I wonder if you've ever been laughed at because of your faith in Jesus. I know for some of you,
That will be a very painful thought, because it's even people in your own family who will have done that. So why do they mock? Well, Peter gives us a reason in verse 3. Find in a second. It's because their lives are controlled by their own lusts. By that he means by their own desires, their own wants. And so he says they deliberately ignore the facts. I wonder if that's still true today. Many scoff because, well, they've never really investigated what the Bible teaches. Popular culture is so around you that it's easy to think, well, that's all right for those funny people that go to church on Sunday. But not for me. I don't think it's necessarily that they're bad people. They do dismiss what the Bible teaches, or at least they dismiss even the thought of looking at the Bible in the first place. Just don't want to think about it. Think it doesn't have any relevance to life today. But then there are others, and I've come across people like this, I'm sure you have too, who begin to look. They begin to get interested. And then it's as if when you're talking to them, you're hitting a brick wall. And I think that's because they suddenly, having looked, realize the implications of living in a biblical way. Take a step back. Don't want to go there. But Peter tells them, the believers that he's writing to, that there is another very good reason to believe that Jesus will return to judge the world. And the reason he gives can be found in verse 5. He says, they might be saying, oh, it hasn't happened yet. And that kind of makes sense. It would seem that history is on the side of the scoffers, wouldn't it? But actually, Peter is going to remind them that history is on the side of the believers. So that's why he says in verse 5, the earth was formed out of water and by water. And it was also by water, the water of the flood, that the old world was destroyed. Genesis 1, God gave a command, and the world was created. A beautiful world. A world in which God, about which God said, it is good. And then sin came into the world. You all know the story of Adam and Eve. The disobedience came into the world. And by chapter 6 in Genesis, God could stand it no more. Enough is enough, he said. What did he do? He sent the flood. It happened. And only one small family was saved. So he's giving plenty of evidence, isn't he? But was this just wishful thinking on the part of Peter? We need to remember who he is. He's the disciple that was with Jesus throughout his ministry. He was one of the very close disciples, together with John and James. He was the one disciple who, when Jesus said, "Who do you say I am?" said, "Yes, you are the Messiah, the one whom God has sent." And after Peter has acknowledged that, Jesus speaks to him and the others about his coming death. He tells them that he's going to die. He tells them that he's going to be rejected by the elders and the priests and the teachers of the law. But that 3 days later, he will rise again. And then he goes on to say, "If anyone wants to come with me, he must forget self, carry his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his own life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it." Do people gain anything if they win the whole world but lose their life? Of course not. There is nothing they can give to regain their life. If a person is ashamed of me and of my teaching in this godless and wicked day, then the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in glory, the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And then after that, Jesus takes Peter and James and John up a mountain. It's the story that we read that's called the Transfiguration. And Peter writes about that in the earlier part of his letter, the letter that we're reading today, in chapter 1. He says, chapter 1 and verse 16, "We have not depended on made-up stories in making known to you the mighty coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. With our own eyes, we saw his glory. We were there when he was given honor and glory by God the Father. When the voice came to him from the supreme glory saying, 'This is my dear Son with whom I am pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice coming from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain." This is no figment of Peter's imagination. He has seen the glory of Jesus with his own eyes. He has heard the voice from heaven. No wonder he's writing this letter. No wonder he's wanting the believers to keep true
to the gospel of Christ. So, why is there such a long delay? This is a very short bit. Well, because God loves everybody. Can we listen a bit just till I get to the end of this bit, and then I will. All right. Why has it been delayed for 2,000 years? It's because of God's love. You see, one day or 1,000 years is just the same in God's sight. That's what it tells us in verse 8. To him, the two are the same. He isn't slow to do what he said he would. He's patient because his desire is for all to come to Jesus. What a compassionate God. And so we live in the between times. The time when Jesus came as a man, and when he will come again. And we are his voice. We are his hands. We are his feet. Are we so scared of being mocked that we keep quiet? I'm going to make a confession to you now. I was sat around a table a week ago with some people who were telling those of us sat round what a terrible place the world was. What terrible things happened. What terrible things had happened to them. And did I say, well, have you ever wondered why? Do you know that God hates it as much as you do? Do you know that God weeps when he sees the people of Syria? The Rohingya people. And all the horrible things that happen. Do you think that God doesn't weep about that? And that's why he sent his son. And that's why we need to believe in him. Because one day, a day is coming when Jesus will wait no longer. And he will come back. And it will be a cataclysmic event. I can see from your faces that this is really heavy. What are we to do? How then should we live? First of all, we're to believe. And we're to have great conviction of what we believe. Secondly, we're to be brave. That we're not to back off. That we're not to stay silent. If this is true, then people need to know. And lastly, we're to be bold. I'm not very bold. I'm bold standing here in front of you now. I wasn't bold around that dinner table. And I'm really sorry about that. I can often think of what I should have said after. I'm sure you can all identify with that. But I do believe that if we pray and we ask God to help us to see where he is at work, that he will help us to see when there's an opportunity, and that he will give us that power of his Spirit to say the right thing with compassion and love. You need to be saved because Jesus will. Oh Lord, your word speaks through to our minds and our hearts. And this message that you've given us this morning is a hard one. And we want to say now before you, we really are sorry when we're afraid of people who will ridicule us. We want to say we're sorry that our lives are not always lived so close to you that then we miss the opportunities that you give us. We want to say sorry because instead of being bold in your strength, we're often like timid mice who scuttle away. Oh Lord, forgive us. We know that you do. And it's because of Jesus. Our sins are forgiven. And we long for the sins of every other person in the whole wide world to be forgiven too, just as you do. So help us to be bold. Help us to be courageous. Help us to be willing to speak for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Song we're going to sing now continues really what I've been saying. How long, Lord? How long will it be before you come back? Because we know you weep and we weep for the world as it is at the moment.